You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 461 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Roland, coming to you live deep into the night here on this fine Monday evening into Tuesday morning. The Atlanta Hawks lost by a final score of 113-92 at the hands of the Philadelphia 76ers on the road. No big surprise in terms of the actual win-loss result here, as the Hawks were 11.5-point underdogs to the Sixers on the road. With that said, the Hawks were only actually in a tie game at the half here, and things got away from them in a hurry in that third quarter. Actually, they were outscored by a score of 31-13 in the third quarter, and that was basically the end of that. We'll go through what transpired in this game as well as some individual stuff here as we break down the game. Probably won't be terribly long in terms of the duration of the show today, but it's one of those games where it was a blowout on the scoreboard, but for a half, it was actually pretty competitive, so we'll talk about that a little bit right now. Early on in this game, I was not surprised by this, but people were asking me what I thought was going to happen in terms of the defensive matchups with the Hawks playing against their first quality team of the season in the Sixers. The Hawks began this game basically not guarding Markelle Fultz at all, former number one overall pick who famously has sort of lost his shooting mojo over the last year plus. They actually started with Kent Bazemore on Fultz and basically playing center field, playing way off of him, which I definitely endorse. Lloyd Pierce is someone who would know Markelle Fultz very well. Actually, the Hawks got some national attention for the way that they were playing defense on Fultz in this game, particularly in the first half, as the Hawks were, they had definitely had a game plan to not guard Fultz, and actually worked out pretty well in that first half. And as a result of that, Bays kind of playing center field. They had Trae Young guarding Robert Covington, who's not really a huge offensive threat. He's more of a catch-and-shoot guy, doesn't really do too much else offensively. And then they had Taurean Prince on Ben Simmons for much of that first quarter, which, I would definitely endorse that that strategy, and it definitely worked very well at times for the Hawks in that first quarter. Elsewhere, there was a couple of nice plays early on. Trae Young had a couple of really nice drive finishes in this game, but the first one was against Fultz. It definitely was a highlight play where he got to turn Fultz around, and that got all the way to the rim and finish, which was nice to see from Trae Young. The Hawks led 16-8 in the early going here, and they had a couple of threes to lead the way there. There was some foul trouble in the first quarter, though, from Alex Lynn, who we'll talk about later on the podcast, that prompted, apparently, Miles Plumlee played some real minutes in this game, which was a surprise to me. I know the first stint, I believe, was prompted because of foul trouble by Lynn. They're not really ready to play Deadman for long stretches of times, and instead of bringing Lynn back in with two fouls, they went to Plumlee, which I don't really like them doing that, but I sort of understood it. But at the same time, the crazy thing that I saw in this game that happened multiple times was Pierce going to Plumlee and Dwayne Dedmon playing together. I asked this question, and I actually said this a little bit on the podcast earlier this week. I asked the question of Pierce last week before a home game about the potential of seeing Dedmon and Alex Lynn play together. He kind of downplayed that, and then he decided to play Dedmon and Plumlee together in this game, which makes even less sense in my opinion. So I was surprised by that. We saw it more than one time. It didn't particularly work very well. Also, they played Plumlee with Vince Carter, which is even crazier, I think. I do think if you're looking for rationale, the first time that Plumlee and Dedmon played together, Philly was playing Mike Muscala at the four, who really is kind of a center, and also Joel Embiid. And, if you want to go that way, playing two centers isn't really the biggest deal in the world against Muscala and Embiid. But then the second time, it was against Embiid and Dario Saric, which makes even less sense. So I'm curious about that. I will try to ask and see what's going on with that decision to play those two guys together. But it happened on multiple occasions in this game, and I was a little bit surprised by that, to say the least. Offensively, though, the first quarter, I should say the Hawks led by 5 points at the end of the first quarter, and it was not really the offense, though, that was the positive sign there. In fact, the Hawks had a 94.8 offensive rating in the first quarter, whereas the defense really stymied the Sixers. Philadelphia had a 75.8 offensive rating in the first quarter. That was enough to give the Hawks the lead. From there, though, it was all Philly. I know that it wasn't, second quarter was kind of back and forth. The Sixers did open the second quarter with a 13-5 run to kind of take the lead. From there, there was some back and forth in the second quarter. There was a no point guard lineup used by Lloyd Pierce in the second quarter, which I was actually okay with. That typical, now typical, I should say, Bazemore and Bembry backcourt was on the floor during part of that second quarter. Also, the Hawks did finish the second quarter with a 6-0 run of their own to come back and tie up the game and enter halftime with some positive mojo. That was nice to see from the Hawks after some ugly portions of that second quarter. With that said, it all went downhill after the half. As you might imagine, that 31-13 margin in the third quarter kind of tells the story. The Hawks shot 6 of 24 from the floor in that third quarter. They were 1 of 9 from 3 in the third quarter, and defensively there was a lot of issues as well. Philly had an 11-0 run at one point to take a lead of 12. The Hawks did get back within 12 later on in the third as Kent Bazemore had a nice little mini run. I think he had 5 straight points at one point in time, but from there, Philly ended the quarter up with 6 straight of their own and going up by 18 at home against an inferior team. Philly was kind of in the clear from that point on. The fourth quarter was largely garbage time. It might look more entertaining because of the score. It was 35-32 in the fourth quarter. A lot of that was pure garbage time. About the last 6-7 minutes of this game were all backups. You know, Tyler Dorsey and Jalen Adams played the final 6 minutes or so of this game. It kind of tells you where the Hawks were in their mindset. They were down by 20-plus for most of that stretch. And that was kind of the end of that. Before we get into the actual individual stuff in this game, I do want to take a second to talk to you about the good folks at MyBookie. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice, and when it comes to picking games, all that fun stuff, and usually it's what team to bet on and what teams to avoid. But the truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you do know, you have to check out MyBookie right away, because remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with, and that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, it's the best bet that you can make this season. They've been in the business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site's absolutely easy to use, so you can lay down some cash and win big today. I recommend this service regardless. If it was good to me, and that's one of those things that I'm going to be passing along to you guys, because I definitely advocate for MyBookie. It's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie now, because when you win, they do pay. And they have in-game live betting and the most rewarding player perks in the industry. And if you like fantasy basketball or fantasy football, all that fun stuff, you can even bet the over-under and how many fantasy points that a guy can score in the middle of each game. And there are lots of different ways that you can get some money down today, which can provide a lot of entertainment, even if it's relatively harmless. So you can join now. MyBookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar if you use promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON to activate this offer. MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. That's 100% up to $1,000. So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. One more time, that's promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. Thanks to MyBookie for sponsoring the podcast today. We can move on to the individual portion of the program. But before we do that, I do want to at least tell you guys the overarching numbers that transpired here. The fourth quarter, I know, sort of, I would say, impacts things a little bit because of the fact that it was mostly garbage time. But still, the game-long numbers, I should say, tell an interesting story. Philadelphia's offense actually was not great in this game by any stretch of the imagination, but they ended up this game with a 106.1 offensive rating, which is just, you know, not terribly inspiring, but not bad at all. Philly got to the line 18 times, made 17 of those, which definitely helps. They had 33 assists in this game, but the Sixers did miss a ton of shots. They were 14 of 47 from three. The Hawks, I can't be sure, having not been there, but I'm pretty sure that Lloyd Pierce does not want the opponent attempting 47 threes. So that's not a great situation to be in, especially when they weren't making them. If they had been connecting, you know, JJ Redick had a nice game with 4 of 11. And Mike Muscala actually hit 4 threes, but there were guys on this roster who were better shooters than the way they looked in this game. And if Philly had knocked down a bunch of their shots, this game would have gotten even uglier even faster than it actually did. So that's just something to keep in mind here. The Hawks offensively, 37% from the floor, 22% from three. Pretty ugly there. They also had only 13 turnovers, which isn't terrible, but only 20 assists, which is not a number that the Hawks, I'm sure, want. I know Pierce has talked about trying to get to 30 and on a nightly basis, and that was one of the things that they were just unable to do in this game. The shots weren't really falling for most of the night, but still there were some inconsistencies and generating good looks. Offensively, the Hawks had an 86.4 rating. That is very, very bad. It's only a one-game sample, but a situation where the offense was just not good in this game, really at any point. There were obviously small stretches where the Hawks were pretty good offensively, but for the most part, in the grand scheme here, it was not very pretty for the Hawks offensively in this game, which you can probably tell by the points. But in a relatively fast-paced game, not a ton going on there for Atlanta offensively. That definitely shows itself out in the individual numbers as well. Only one player broke 12 points in this game. That was Kent Bazemore. He had 18. Baze was 7 of 16 from the floor. 2 of 5 from 3. Actually missed 3 free throws in this game, which is a little bit surprising. But so 18 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 2 blocks for Bazemore. He wasn't spectacular by any means in this game. He was the only guy who was really like sort of consistent offensively throughout this game. Bazemore was just fine. I thought it was a pretty solid game from him. You know, the numbers aren't terribly exciting necessarily, but 18 points was by far the most prolific that the Hawks had in this spot. And Bazemore was pretty solid for the most part in this game. Trae Young, 11 points, 8 assists for Trae in 29 minutes. He was 5 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 6 from 3. He was better in this game than he was in the game on Saturday, which I was vocal in saying was his worst performance of the season. He was better here. It was not the greatest Trae performance in the world, but it wasn't his fault either. There were some really nice passes from Trae. He had at least 2 very, very good, you know, all the way to the rim, dribble drive and finishes. That's something that you want to see from him. The shots will fall at some point in time. I thought he was fine here, honestly, and the 8 assists were nice. No turnovers as well. So 8 assists, no turnovers is very, very important for Trae Young. So I think the numbers don't look great for Trae, but I actually thought he was pretty okay in the spot. There were some defensive issues, but still, I thought he was actually all right and much better than he was on Saturday. So something to file away there for the future. Alex Len was really rough in this game, I thought. Only 15 minutes of play. Part of that was foul trouble, as I mentioned before, but 8 points, 2 rebounds for Len, and he was pretty anonymous. Did make a corner 3 early on in this game, but had some really, really rough moments defensively. Rebounding the ball was not a strength of his either. Only 2 rebounds in this game for Len, which that's not enough for your starting center who's doing a lot of stuff around the rim, especially as someone who's not really a stretch guy in the way that Len is. I know he can shoot a little bit offensively now, but defensively, he's definitely a ground-bound, more big man that protects the rim. I thought Len was pretty bad, honestly. You know, I think he probably should be playing more than this, even when he's bad. I think Miles Plumlee doesn't need to be playing minutes, honestly. That's a situation where it's kind of tricky. I'm not sure what the mandate was there, but you know, Len was not good in this game. That's the best way to put it. And the Hawks need more from him because the last couple of games he's been pretty bad. I liked what I saw from him in the preseason, and I like what I saw from him early on in the season. But since then, it's been a little bit ugly. So we'll see when and if he bounces back, because he's better than this, obviously. But he was not good in this game. Torian Prince, speaking of not good, I thought this is by far the worst game of the season from Torian. You know, the shooting speaks for itself, but 1 of 11 from the floor. 1 of 11 from the floor. 1 of 6 from 3. 5 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Actually, you know, for me, it goes beyond the shooting. He had some really bad decision-making in the on the offensive end of the floor. Defensively, not a ton of effort from Torian, sort of reverting back to last year's levels defensively at times in this game. You know, the shooting is bad, and that's something that's just going to happen every once in a while, but he just didn't play well beyond the shooting. I mean, there's definitely a way to play okay while still shooting 1 of 11 from the floor. He did not do that in this game. That's probably the best way to put that. You know, there'll be better nights ahead for Torian Prince, and I think you know, it was pretty clear early on that he didn't have it in this game, but still, I want to see more maturation from Prince moving on, where if he doesn't have a jump shot, he can do other things, and I think he's someone who has the talent to make other impacts, and he just wasn't able to do that in this game. Vince Carter, last guy in the starting five, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals for Vince in 20 minutes. He was 2 of 7 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3. I kind of joked and pointed out that the first shot of the night for Atlanta in the first quarter was a Vince Carter contested fadeaway 2-pointer. That's something that you absolutely do not want to happen. I thought Vince was not good, but he was actually one of the better. I almost said one of the better. He was okay. It wasn't like he was terrible in this game by any means. He made some nice functional plays, was in the right place at the right time for the most part, and was just kind of out there, which isn't a shot at him. He's just there won't be a ton of nights where he makes a lot of impact, but the nights he can mitigate the negatives are probably good, and that was a spot where he was probably just okay in this game. To the bench, real quickly, Mari Spellman, 23 minutes, 11 points, 6 rebounds. He was probably the best guy off the bench, aside from Dwayne Dedman, who's really a starter, honestly, at least in the way that things should be aligned moving forward. But Spellman actually had some nice moments here. Offensively, it was 1 of 4 from 3, which isn't great, but still a situation where he provided a lot of energy. There were a couple of really bad defensive moments in the second half, I thought, from Mari, but on the whole, he was good in this game. You know, good energy from him offensively in his return to Philadelphia, where he played college basketball at Villanova. And, you know, Spellman definitely had some energy in this game and just kind of played okay on both ends of the floor. I want him to play more center. I would love to have seen him get all those Plumlee minutes at center. That's one of the things that bothered me about that, was that they could just go to Spellman there and see more of him in his more natural state. But I think, you know, he still played 23 minutes, which is enough for him. And he was definitely not shot by getting shots up. Taking 11 shots is probably a little bit too many for Spellman, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with him being aggressive, and he was actually okay in this game. DeAndre Bembry off the bench, a little bit anonymous from him, 24 minutes, 2 of 7 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 5 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Bembry had a couple of nice moments, just like a lot of you guys did in this game, but was definitely not consistent, I would say. Defensively, he's one of the guys who is better than normal defensively. And I do think that Bembry provides a little bit of a higher floor than you might think because of his defense. He's been very good on the end of the floor on the whole this year. He's very versatile as well. He's been guarding like 1 through 4 at times, and that definitely adds some value. He wasn't great here, but the rebounding is nice. He continues to do that this season, which is a nice little wrinkle that he's sort of added to his game now in year 3. And I thought Bembry was actually pretty solid despite the lack of efficiency offensively. Dwayne Dedman wasn't quite as good as he was the other night because he was incredible the other night on Saturday. But 11 points, 5 rebounds. He was definitely one of the better players on the roster for the Hawks in this game, if not, you know, definitely top 2 or 3 in terms of the guys who were most effective on a permanent basis. 4 of 8 from the floor, 1 of 2 from 3, 23 minutes. It's time to start Dwayne Dedman. He is much, much better than the other options, and I think at some point in the near future, maybe it's Tuesday in Cleveland, maybe it's not, but Dedman should be back to a full-time role in the near future, and we'll see how they handle that moving forward. Last but not least, Kevin Huerter, 17 minutes, 2 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist for Huerter. Had a block shot as well. Nothing spectacular from Huerter, but he was actually okay here. 0-3 from the floor, 0-2 from 3 will stick out to people, I'm sure. I thought his floor game was actually pretty solid for the most part. I probably wish he'd take more shots. There was one that I know he want back, a wide open kick out, catch and shoot 3 from the corner that he just wasn't able to knock down, but I thought Huerter was okay in this game and just didn't do anything terribly positive or terribly negative, which is actually fine for a rookie, to be honest with you. The other guys that were in the rotation, sorry, that were not in the rotation but ended up playing minutes for the most part, Jeremy Lin actually wasn't, you know, in the first half as normal, but only played 9 minutes, which I didn't really notice till after the game, honestly, that he hadn't played so much. I guess by the time that he would have gotten his regular stints in the second half, the game was kind of lopsided and they didn't want to push him back out there. But Lin he showed some signs. He had one really, really bad turnover in the lane that cost the Hawks on the other end of the floor, which was harmful, but he did have a couple of nice moments, and that's probably more than he's had in the last 2 or 3 games before this. So I guess baby steps from Jeremy Lin. He wasn't good, but he wasn't as bad as he's been the last couple of games, which is nice to see from him. The other guys that played, Tyler Dorsey and Jalen Adams, both small samples, but both had they got on the board. 3 points for Adams, 2 points for Dorsey. Didn't have much to say about those guys. It was all garbage time there. And Miles Plumlee, as I mentioned before, 10 minutes for Plumlee, 6 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal for Plumlee. He had a couple of nice moments actually in the first half. His hands are kind of hilarious usually, but it's a good reminder in this game. He had a couple of nice dunks. He's a very good athlete, and if he's in the right place at the right time, he can definitely help you in certain ways. I would not be playing Miles Plumlee, and I'll say that before. I'll say that again now. Giving him minutes, even with foul trouble, doesn't make sense to me right now. You would need 2 guys out before I'd be playing Plumlee on a regular basis, and right now it's just Collins that's out, so I would be going to Spellman as the third center if they wanted to do that, in addition to Dedman and Lin. So I'm not sure what led that decision to happen. Again, I'm guessing that the foul trouble from Lin in the first quarter led to Plumlee minutes, but for me, I would just go small if I wanted to and play Spellman at the 4, I mean Spellman at the 5, et cetera, before I'd be playing Plumlee 3 different times in a competitive game, which is interesting to say the least. But he was better in the first half. Second half, he kind of turned back into a pumpkin a little bit in the third quarter when he played a little bit, but it wasn't like a situation where he cost the Hawks really anything in this spot because they were going to lose lopsidedly either way. But just something to file away for the future. I was confused by that, and I wonder what will happen on Tuesday in Cleveland. That's the next time the Hawks will be gathering again, and this space as well. It's 24 hours from now as the Hawks are in Cleveland for the second time already this season. It's kind of a weird scheduling quirk where the Hawks are playing in Cleveland twice before October ends, and then that's it for the season in terms of going back to Cleveland. The Cavs do come to Atlanta later on in the year, but kind of a funny schedule weirdness there. They fired their coach this week, so that's something that's very interesting to see how they look on Tuesday. But the Hawks, that's a spot where if you're picking a road game on this whole season that the Hawks might be favored or at least close to favored to win, it's on the road in Cleveland. But the Hawks are on a second game of the back-to-back, so we'll see how they handle that, see who's available, who's not available. If there's any surprises, we'll hopefully be able to address those on the Tuesday night program. But regardless, that's the next spot before the Hawks come home on Thursday against the Sacramento Kings. So I apologize for my voice here. I don't think maybe you guys can't notice it, but I'm playing hurt a little bit. I'm a little bit under the weather here, so hopefully you guys will be patient with me, and this wasn't too bad for everybody. So, and hopefully I'll also bounce back in time to be a little bit more coherent after the game on Tuesday night in Cleveland. So thanks for listening. As always, everyone, I really appreciate that. We'll have another podcast on Tuesday night after the game into Wednesday morning. And if nothing else, subscribe, do all that fun stuff, and we'll see you guys in about 24 hours.